All right, I want to share a couple of verses this morning. John 18:36. This is along a theme I've been sharing a couple of Sundays. And the title today is Choosing to Live Where Lies Can't Hide. Choosing to Live Where Lies Cannot Hide. John 18:36. You know, I've been talking about lying lately, and not the kind you do in your bed. I'm talking about being untruthful or dishonest. Done a couple of teachings along that line. I think it's very, very important, folks, that we be honest and upfront in our life. Can you hear an amen? And get lying out of our life. We saw that, I think, last week, week before, that John 8:44 says Satan is the father of lies. And when you have lies and untruths, then you come under the jurisdiction of the enemy. In fact, we're told in Psalm 15 that a righteous man speaks the truth in his heart. If you want to have a life integrity, the place to start is to yourself. One of the worst things in life to do is to lie to yourself. Now, that's dumb, first of all. All right, here's something even dumber, to lie to God. Hello. That's almost, that's like lying to your mother. You know, lying to your mother don't work. Amen? Mamas have eyes all around their heads. But lying to God and lying to yourself is just folly. It is the stupidest thing. You literally go into a dark cave and you never come out when you lie to yourself. And we all know people like that, walking around in delusion and confusion. But we want to see here, John 8:36, Christ said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." And Pilate said, "Well, are you a king then?" Jesus said, "You say that I'm a king. To this end I was born, for this cause I came to the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth," what? "Here's my voice." Now, who would like to hear the voice of the Lord clearer? Nothing is great, I've been talking about that lately too, than hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, knowing that God spoke to you. There's no greater joy. It's almost like a hand breaking from eternity into this time-space continuum. And it's God. And it's great when God speaks to you. Whoa! You know, the blue is bluer, the green is greener. I mean, the life just kind of comes to a halt. And wow, I'm a child of God. My Father loves me. And He's speaking to me, cares. He's involved in my life. And God wants to speak to us. He does. He really does. He is doing all He can to speak to us. He really does. He cares. Any father wants to speak to his children. What we've been talking about lately is why we can't hear it a lot of times. Because of a hard heart. Hebrews 3 says, "Harden not your heart if you will hear His voice." All right? And here Jesus says, "Everyone that's of the truth hears my voice." One thing that will really cause you to not hear the voice of the Lord is if you're moving in lies. If you believe in lies, if you don't love the truth. We saw that in 2 Thessalonians. He says, if you don't love the truth, God's going to allow strong delusion to come in your life. Delusion and confusion. So you got to love the truth, first of all. You got to love the truth. I think I've shared this before when I was a young person. I don't know where I heard the prayer. But I prayed, "Lord, I want the truth and the whole truth, no matter what the truth, no matter who it separates me from or puts me with." And I stand here today as a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Because on the external, in the natural, my ministry isn't much of a success in this age of mega churches, in this age of megalomaniacal monstrosity ministries. I'm not much of anything. But you know what? I consider myself a success in one sense. I think I've had a difference in the spirit world. Praise God. That I somehow my ministry and the fact that I've loved the truth and been willing to preach the truth has made a difference in casting demons out. My prayer is at the end of my life that at some demon gathering somewhere, you know, when the demons are having dry martinis, you know, they go in the dry place, I just leave it down there. Keep dropping it. Here, put it over there. Just leave it. And somehow, when my name comes up, one of them will go, "Whoa, stay away from that church. They hate demons over there." Amen? Well, look at John 3, verse 19. So the question today is, I've been talking a lot about lying. I want to talk about, how do you live in a place where lies can't hide? You want to know the truth? I have as much propensity in me to be a deceived, dishonest liar as anybody in this room. Is anybody above lying? Let's be honest. Is it just the grace of God? Being raised right? Being afraid of daddy's belt? That's the reason. I remember my first lie. My first significant lie. You heard that story about when I had the smoking gun? Had that about 8, 9 years old. My older brother had glasses. Here, picture the scene. I had a rubber band gun. When I was rubber band, it was one of those guns with the little arrows on it, with a little rubber stopper thingy. And I was playing in the hall, and I shot him in his glasses, and the glass went into his eye and all over. And he screams, and I'm standing there with the gun in my hand, here, right? And here's Tim, my brother, glass and the arrow on the ground, and here's my dad, and I went, I didn't do it! And then the next scene is Dad giving me a whipping, saying, I'm not whipping you for what you did, I'm whipping you because you lied. That stuck. That was a stupid lie. Some lies are stupid, amen? But, you know, it got down inside of me. My dad was a man of honesty and truth. He did. And one of the greatest things he ever said is, guys, to stand up for the truth. Don't ever compromise your integrity. He laid that in my spirit when I was a young kid. I think it was my destiny was placed on me by my dad. But you know what? Some of us, but for the grace of God, thank God for my dad. I mean, well, I could have had a dad who just was a liar himself and didn't care. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Thank God for your parents. Amen? Can I amen? Come on, thank the Lord for them. You know, I really believe our parents did the best they could with what they had. That's the truth. And now you're probably doing the same thing with what you got. Just trying to get a little bit more. So John 3:19, what I want to talk about today is, where can you live where lies can't hide? Because you may have a propensity to lie. You may have a struggle with lying or being dishonest. Maybe lying to yourself. Well, is there a place you can put yourself? Yeah. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and neither comes to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light that his deeds can be made manifest and clear that they're wrought in God. You want to know where you can go where lies can't hide? You can go to the light. Live in the light. You say, well, where's the light? Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. There is a way to practically live in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, now remember he said, he that does truth comes to the light. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ. So you know what the light is? It's fellowship one with another. It's relationships. It's intimacy. It's community. Regular, committed, vulnerable fellowship with others of true feelings and thoughts is what eliminates lies in your life. It's that simple. Regular, committed, vulnerable, open fellowship with other people about what you're really feeling, what you're really thinking, opening your life up is what breaks the stronghold of lies in your life. Can you hear an amen? It's that simple. He says in Hebrews 3, it says, while it's called today, exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what it says. While it's called today. The early church was not designed to be on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, and Sunday evenings. It was every day. Read it. While it's called today. We need every day to have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. What does that mean? Because it's in fellowship one with another, iron sharpens iron, that stuff comes up. That we bring to Jesus and he forgives us. And we forgive. It's the body of Christ coming together. That's the environment where lies can't hide. You can't snooker people. You can't smoke people when you're around people a long time. You can do it if you just kind of see them once in a while. How many people just this morning are going to churches all over town, and they've been going to churches for years? And they go to the fellowship time afterwards and have a little cup of coffee, and they're talking to people and smiling, saying, praise the Lord, and this and that. And maybe they go again another time in the week. And then, but how many still have all kinds of stuff in their life that's not being exposed to others? You know, thank God for that, but that was never the intention of the body of Christ. God never intended Christianity to be going to meetings. In fact, somebody once said, the way it is in our culture is we live in the world and we go to church. I really believe the Bible is different. The Bible is you ought to live in the church and you go to the world. You live in the church. That was the early church. That was the original radical design of this thing Jesus called the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against, was the body of Christ living together in love, community. So, and they went to the world and they come back into the church. That's the plan of God. And this thing we have in America called the church, that's why it's so full of so much stuff other than true Christianity. Amen? And we're exporting it all over the world. And have been for a long time. You know what held Christianity through the entire Dark Ages? As the Dark Ages swooped down, the mistaken notion that the Crusades occurred in the latter part of the first millennium, the calling of the churches to rescue the Holy Land from the infidel. You know, and all these crusades, the 12 crusades going, you know, and slaughtering the infidels for Christ. You know, I heard of it. There's a bumper sticker, kill a commie for Christ, kill a Muslim for Christ. This is how it was back during the crusades. Well, you know, the earth was plunging. It really started going to serious dark ages then. I mean, the whole, just, but what happened was the light of God held true all those dark ages. You know where it was held true? In Christian community. It was called monasteries. But it was basically people that came and gave up everything and learned to live and share and become one in community together. And it was in the context of Christian community, which was called monastic living, held the light of God all the way till the Reformation. Now the Reformation, thank God for the Reformation. It burst open the heresies and the excesses of the Roman Church. But the Reformation, while it was wonderfully good, it left some things behind that should have taken long. One of which was the whole notion of community. The whole notion of family. There was almost the Reformation was such a resistance to the excesses, they tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, the Catholic Church, to this day, as it has been for 1,000 years, they have something called confess your sins to a priest. Okay, and I did that when I was a kid as a Catholic. Well, when I got saved, I said, thank God I don't have to go to some priest on Saturday night and confess my sins. I can confess my sins to the Lord. And they never taught us about 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, right? But later, years later, the Lord mercifully began to show me James 5:13. Confess your faults one to another. There is a balance. There is time when you do need to confess to one another. There is a time when you do need your brother to be a light to you and a conviction. See, the Reformation doesn't like that verse. They don't talk about that. That's uncomfortable because it reminds us. You understand what I'm saying? You with me? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Is there an echo? Echo, echo. Hebrews 3:12. In fact, let's look at it. Hebrews 3:12. A couple more places. I want to just let you see this. It's in your Bible. Somebody says, well, it may not be in my Bible. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens the heart. The way sin hardens, it shuts our ear to the voice of the Lord, and the solution is right here. Daily exhortation of your brothers and sisters. It's that simple. God said, I want you to be in fellowship, community, and exhort one another. Genuine Christian community. Most believers have no idea of their potential for this self-deception. Jeremiah 19 says, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Christianity was never meant to be X number of meetings a week. The American culture is me and Jesus, or I heard the Lord say. The Lord said this to me. The Lord said that to me. The Lord this, the Lord that. You know, there's a whole understanding in Scripture that God confirms his word in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and the multitude counsels their safety. Look, I've walked with the Lord a long time. But when I think I'm hearing something, I bounce it off of people. I've learned I'm smart enough to know I ain't got this thing down. I have just as much propensity. It's in the mouth of two or three witnesses. What's the matter? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Just take that one. Appreciate it. Look at Ephesians 4:14. Last place we're going to look. You know where I'm going with this? Choosing to live where lies can't hide. Folks, if you have a problem with deception, lying, dishonesty, lack of integrity, God's not going to bless your life in those things. He's going to convict you. And you overcome it, but you say, you know, I want to just live where those things cease to be the big issue in my life. I can overcome them. Well, God's got a place for you. He never intended us to live this thing out alone. It's all about fellowship, community, Christian community. I'm not talking about communal living. Even though I do, in our house, we have a number of people live with us. And I'm thankful for that. I was thinking the other day, thank you, Jesus. For many, many years, we've had people living with us. I like having people live with us. But that's not necessary to have community. Community can occur whether you have people living with you or not. Community is an attitude of the heart having to do with other people, that your heart is open. You know, you can live with people and not be in community. You can live in the house and still be privacious and never share your life. Amen? Community is when you're with your brothers, you share your life. You open your life out. We have these groups we call koinonia groups, women's groups, men's groups. The whole purpose of those is a place of community. You're real. You're accountable. You're gut level. No phoniness. It's all about being real. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Ephesians 4:14. I know you've heard this before. It's good to hammer on it because it's such a deception out there. Look at this. 4:14. Then we henceforth be no more little children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You can put right there in your margin, TBN. Every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Put right there, TBN. Christian television, Christian media, lying wait to deceive, lying wait to get your money. It's a sham and a shame what goes on in our culture in the name of Christianity. You ever heard of a charismatic tumbleweed? That's what he says, tossed to and fro, no moorings, no foundation, no stability. In the world of relationships, result they have a life full of deception, misunderstanding, confusions, half-truths, and bondages. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. The key to maturity, to growing up, is speaking the truth. It's truth. It's honesty. It's vulnerability. It's accountability. It's being real. In love. The only way the body will ever mature is we must speak the truth one to another. It's the only way to keep out dead religion. You know how a church begins to get religious? It starts with the preacher. It does. It does. It always starts with the preacher. A church is a reflection of the preacher. If the preacher begins to lie to his own heart and deceive himself or seek to deceive someone else, whether he knows it or not, what's coming out of him is religious. And it'll be reflected on the people. Very subtle at first. But it's the mirror. It's just like mom and dad with the kids. Same thing. You know what your kids are like? They're like you. Hello? Scripture says you can know a man. If a man does not know how to take care of his family, how should he leave the church of God? Look at a man. Parents, look at their kids. That's a reflection. the kids are out of control and they run the family, this whack off. It says their parents need some help. They need to get some things lined out in order, that the parameters need to be brought up. Amen? Same thing with a church. Same thing with in any kind of business. Did you know that? One time I went to a restaurant. This happened a number of times. I've been to restaurants. You ever go into a restaurant and you just feel something weird? It's like all the waitresses or waiters are just kind of surly or just kind of, you know. And maybe you go there a few times and say, I don't want to go there. What's the deal with that place? You know, it's usually because they got bum management. It's just because it's the leadership, the authority sets the tone. That's just the way authority submission works. And when a preacher begins to not be honest in his own heart and just share the anointing of the Holy Ghost to the people, something else will come. And it's the trap. I tell you, I really grieve, and I've known preachers get in. In fact, I have a good buddy, Robert Hughes. He's a former Baptist preacher. He's working for Mission Houston now, and he and I are working together in business. And I like Robert. He's honest to the core. I mean, he's just gut level. He's a good guy. Baptist, I mean hard shell. I mean turtle wax hard. You know, I've been sharing with him for 4-5 years about Holy Ghost tongues. He's very polite, listens, nods, great. Don't want no part of it. Holy Ghost. That's all right. I love Robert. We're good friends. But you know, Robert, he's talked about that. He says, you know, it's all about, you know, it really doesn't matter whether you have Holy Ghost or not. You know what really matters? Do you love Jesus? And God can bless Robert's ministry wherever he is. That's with his upbringing and his thinking. That's fine. You know, I take him because he's a man of integrity. And the people that are under him, he produces good fruit. So it all starts with the preacher. When they begin to come, you know what happens a lot of times is they get in this church growth thing. You know? And they get in this, I got to have a building. I got to have a, and they go to church seminary. And they learn that to be a pastor, you got to have all this stuff. So they start getting the stuff. And then they get in debt. They have this monthly note. And then they're worried about the tithe. They're worried about, oh man, you know, I got to be sure I don't run anybody off. Because their offering pays the bills. So they start speaking nice things. Oh, be nice to sweet people. I'm here to tell you, praise the Lord, that we're called to be nice and to be nicer. You've not been very nice, but be nicer this week. Amen? Amen. Now let's pass the offering basket. Be nice to the offering basket. You know, and I grieve for that because, you know, good people that love the Lord get caught in that trap. And I just don't ever want to go there. You know, I mean, we just rented buildings and we used to meet out in the parks under trees in the early days. We just saved our nickels. In fact, I did not get married till after we bought this building. I got to thinking about that. All those years, you know, it's funny when you get married, suddenly you go poor. I mean, things get more expensive. Things get more expensive. These young teenagers, you ought to see what Blake eats. We have to cut a cow up. Slabs of... I'm kidding. Fatted cow. But we got this building, all right? And we paid for... We put 98,000 down. I had that in cash. That's because we went saved for 10 years. And then we had another... $90,000 to build it out in cash. And now we do have a mortgage. But I know a little bit about it. We slammed that mortgage down. You know what the interest rate? We got that thing down to $1,100 a month for this 8,000 square foot building on this prompt. And we only owe $58,000 right now. We only owe $1,100. Now that's still a lot of money, but I figured if we got debt, we could scrape up $1,100 among us. Amen. If we had to, we ain't going to lose the building. You know, and I determined on, I'm not going to get in that trap because I don't want to worry about it. I offend anybody. I mean, you know, forget it. Last place, verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25. You know, the bottom line today, folks, all I'm sharing Choosing to live where lies can't hide. It's just to remind us what it's all about. What it's all about is relationships and being real and accountable and open. Sharing your life. You know, if you're experiencing a dry Christian life, it may be because you're not sharing your life. You're not being real. You're not sharing your struggles. Christ intended us day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. It was always intended to be fellowship one with another. An ongoing dynamic of life. Not coming to meetings. Meetings are important. Periodically, yes. But life together is what it's all about. Christ among you, the hope of glory. The whole epistles, every epistle was written to communities. Communities of people. Bodies. Tangible. Paul talks in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. How we're the body of Christ. You know, like the hands and the feet. What you honor different parts of the body. We're members one of another. That's what it's all about. Amen? It's an organism. An organism. Literally. And you can feel it. Like Watch Minnie talks about in his book. One of his, I think it's Spiritual Authority. The body of Christ needs to be such an organism that when the members are together and certain ones are not there, you feel it. You're not mentally, but you feel in the spirit. It's almost like a hand is numb. Or a foot is numb. You sense the absence because that's part of the body. That's a healthy body. Last place, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we're members one of another. A church, healthy church, must eliminate lying and deception. Stuff has to be honest. Otherwise, the enemy gains foothold. Look at verse 27. Give no place to the devil. That's why he gets his foothold, is in lying. In fact, few things will make you angry. Look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. What makes you angry is when people are not being upfront with you. Can you understand? People are deceiving you. I found out years ago, I cannot help a liar. I cannot minister to a liar. If you can't even be honest with me, we have no basis upon which to even go anywhere. Amen? Jesus said, I am the truth. Something about being saved. When you're saved, when you're genuinely born again, you want the truth. You know how you know somebody's saved? They're not ashamed of their past. That's how you know somebody's saved. I don't care how bad their past was. They're not ashamed anymore because they're saved. Thank you, Jesus. I was a drunken alcoholic loser thief, but I'm saved. Amen? That's how you know they're saved. They're not ashamed because of the blood of Jesus. And they've been born again. They have a new life. And God wants us to go from there. I'm not ashamed. Keep an eye on the light. But when you start hiding and putting on masks and being phony, and that's when the snakes and the demons get in. And the weird stuff. It's interesting. The word occult, what the word occult means is hidden. That's what it means, hidden. And there's so much influence of the occult in our culture. Everywhere. It's profligate, man. It's everywhere. In the movies and the television and everywhere. Occult, witchcraft, Hinduism. Pervasive. Folks, we need to bond together and be the body of Christ and love one another and stay with the scripture. Amen? Stay safe. The tide is getting, you know, it's just it's like this big tsunami coming. The tsunami of wickedness is coming in the world. It is. But you know what? We're in an ark. Praise God. This is the ark. The body of Christ is the ark. And we'll just float to the top. It's okay. Hit me with every wave you got. I'll float to the top. Because I'm keeping my life honest. I'm keeping my life open. Accountable to my brothers and sisters. And when the wave hits, it'll just slide right off. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church that I build. And I told the Lord a long time ago about this church. What happened to that cap? Thank you, young man. He's keeping it safe for me. I told the Lord a long time ago. I said, Lord, build this church with living stones. You know, build this church with disciples. I wouldn't trade people here for 30 pew sitters. Pew sitters. People just sit in a pew and in a pew. People that just sit and they play church. There's plenty of churches in town they can go to. I don't want them here. Either you're serious about the Lord and growing up and dealing with your sin and becoming holy and making a difference in the world. Amen? Are you serious about the Lord? You love the Lord? You want to be? You want to live your life for the Lord? Now, you know, you're moving. You're to speed. The Holy Ghost. I'm not pushing anybody. As long as you're inching forward. I don't care how fast you're going. As long as you're going forward. Amen? Whether you're running, sliding, slithering, I don't care. You're going forward. Amen? Just go forward. However fast, just don't back up. Amen? Or stay still. That's the Holy Ghost business, how fast you move. I just don't want those religious people here. And I really don't have to worry about that. Because as soon as we get a bunch of them, for some reason they don't like to stay. I don't know why. I'm just a warm, fuzzy little preacher. I share Bible verses. Don't know what the deal is. We all want to live an honest life. Truth. Truth in the inward parts. Love the truth. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for all of us. You said the Spirit would come and convict us of righteousness and sin and justice and judgment. I pray you would come, Holy Spirit. You are our only hope. You, Lord, are our only hope. Come and convict us where we have lied to ourselves, where we're deceiving ourselves, or we're lying to others, we're not being upfront, we're not being obedient to the nudges of the Holy Ghost. We're hardening our heart. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we really want to walk in the light as you're in the light. And have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And the demons have no more place. Hallelujah. It's like there's a force field around us then. We live in a wonderful environment of the ark of the presence of the Lord. And we can have an abundant life. Right here in the midst of all the stuff going on in the world. We can live abundant life. To the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is among you. We can experience the taste, the powers of the world to come. We can actually get glimpses and whispers and flashes of light from the glory of heaven in our midst. And we thank you for that. Oh, it causes our heart to yearn that this is not our home. We're just passing through down here. This is just, we're just passing through. Our home is... It's solid and real and to come. Lord, help us to be faithful down here and to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Honor every person's heart here that hears this word, Lord. Youngsters, young and old, we love you, Jesus. I love you. Got a song? I got one. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.